This is Audiophile Magazine, providing news and reviews of recent releases of audiobooks. I'm Sandy Henschel. Hello, and welcome to today's readings of selections from the June-July issue of Audiophile Magazine. In this issue, we celebrate a very special group of top narrators, Audiophile's Golden Voices. This year, we inducted 5 new narrators into the group of 30 Golden Voices who were previously honored with this career accolade. Over the next few weeks, we'll highlight one of those narrators in our program. This week, we celebrate the extremely talented January Lavoie. Then we have listening with poet Richard Blanco and reviews in poetry, drama, and the classics. Let's get right to it. We'll start off with our editor's notes. A lifetime of great performances. In this issue, we celebrate a very special group of top narrators who exemplify the best of the best in audiobook talent, Audiophile's Golden Voices. We celebrate these actors for their commitment to the craft of narration and for their career achievements in audiobooks. This year, we induct 5 new narrators to the Golden Voice narrators who were previously honored with this career accolade: January Lavoie, Eduardo Ballerini, Johnny Heller, Bonnie Turpin, and Suzanne Torin. All of the Golden Voice narrators have won multiple awards from Audiophile and others. They have narrated blockbuster titles and have brought excellence to minor works. They have narrated titles in a wide range of subjects for listeners of all ages. They have taken on the roles of thousands of characters. George Goodell has narrated more than 1,000 audiobooks. Scott Brick, more than 800. They have spent many intimate hours with us, hundreds of hours telling stories, exploring lives, and making our own lives richer. We listen to them in the car, on the beach, at the gym, while we make soup or weed gardens, hours stuck in traffic or barreling along the interstate. What does a lifetime achievement honor mean? They have given us the great gift of exceptional performances. Our feature here lets you read about our 5 new Golden Voices and find our suggestions for essential listening if you are not familiar with these great performers. On our Behind the Mic podcast, we have a week featuring an interview with each narrator. Here's some behind-the-scenes stories about their audiobook careers. Follow 30 Days of Golden Voices on Audiophile's Twitter. We hope to introduce you to at least one exceptional narrator whom you may not know. We are so pleased to honor these exceptional narrators. And those are our editor's notes from editor Robin Witten. This is the beginning of the feature, some of which is repeated, you'll excuse me. Audiophile's Golden Voices are a select group of top narrators who exemplify the very best in audiobook talent. We celebrate these actors for their commitment to the craft of narration and for their career achievements in audiobook recordings. This year, we're pleased to induct 5 new narrators into our Golden Voices Hall of Fame: January Lavoie, Eduardo Ballerini, Johnny Heller, Bonnie Turpin, and Suzanne Torin. They have made invaluable contributions to the world of audiobooks, and their performances are a legacy of extraordinary listening. On the following pages, our new Golden Voices share insights into their experiences narrating audiobooks. Listen to Audiophile's podcast, audiophilemagazine.com/podcast, to hear interviews exclusive with all 5 of them, and visit audiophilemagazine.com/golden-voice to learn more about all of our Golden Voice narrators. And our first narrator this week is January Lavoie. What has surprised you most about your work in audiobooks? The first big surprise is that I never expected to become a full-time narrator and make my living doing it and love it. I thought when I auditioned for the first book, it was just going to be a one-off, like a commercial that I do occasionally, or an advertising campaign. I thought I was just going to do an audiobook, which sounds hilarious now. 200 titles later, I'm very grateful that didn't end up being my first and last. The thing that has surprised me the most in doing the work for the past decade or so is the eloquence and passion of the people who listen to audiobooks and how kind and generous they are. I'm used to being on stage, and when I don't have an audience to read my work, it's a very difficult feeling, different feeling. And so when people reach out on Twitter or email me, when authors respond and write and say, "Listening to my own book as you read it was a whole different experience and I loved it," that's really, really meaningful, and it's been a wonderful surprise. Audiophile asks, "Tell us about any interactions with authors." I've gotten a couple of books because authors were avid listeners of audiobooks, and they discovered me that way, and that's really thrilling. It feels like a different kind of audition, an audition I didn't know I was giving, which is actually really nice because there's no pressure involved. Probably about 6 months ago, I got one of the nicest emails I've ever gotten from a fan. She wrote to me and she told me a story about how she had to change jobs and she has this much longer commute now, and it was the Diviners series. So many of my stories about fan interactions go back to that Diviners series by Libba Bray. And she said she had been listening to it, and it had made this transition so much easier for her. And then she said, "I'm just writing to you because you've made so many of my days so much easier, and I hope by telling you a nice story in a world that's really hard and complicated for so many people right now, I'm making your day better." And I just thought that was the nicest thing, and I was so grateful to her for taking the time to do that. Audiophile asked, "Have you ever done anything outrageous to get into character for an audiobook?" I wouldn't say necessarily outrageous, although when I started working on the Star Wars book, it's the hardest thing in the world to find clips of those, especially the old movies, because they just don't allow them to be online. So before I did the first book that was set in the universe of the first three movies, when I was doing familiar characters like Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker and Han Solo, I sat down for 4 hours and watched the whole first original trilogy of movies, and I was laughing and crying and completely forgot that I wasn't doing any sort of research. So then I had to go back and pull out all of the specific things that I was looking for, because I was just enjoying the experience of reliving my childhood and watching those movies again. That was from Audiophile Golden Voice, January Lavoie. We will have more of the Golden Voices, the new ones, in the next weeks of this program, June-July issue. Okay, listening with Richard Blanco, poet from Bethel, Maine. Reading poetry into a microphone in a recording studio is a very different experience from sharing it in front of a live audience, especially a very, very large live audience, as was the case when poet Richard Blanco recited his poem, One Today, as part of President Obama's second inauguration. It's different for the listener, too. With an audiobook, you can go back to it like a favorite song, Blanco says. When it came time for him to record his new collection, How to Love a Country, Blanco wanted to avoid anything that felt sterile or might stifle the emotionality of these personal poems. "I was inviting the emotion," he says, and so he made himself comfortable at the Beacon Press offices in Boston. "It was like being with family. I took off my shoes, I undid my belt. Poetry fans will be glad to be able to listen to the final result again and again. And that listening with Richard Blanco was conducted by Jennifer M. Dowell. And now we will turn our attention to our reviews in the area of poetry and drama. Our first review is an Earphones winner. And as you know, Audiophile awards earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative voice and style, vocal characterizations, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. The first review today is The Picture of Dorian Gray. It's written by Oscar Wilde, and it's an Earphones winner read by James Warwick. Listeners will be enchanted by James Warwick's narration of Oscar Wilde's famous and controversial novel. The story involves a man named Dorian Gray, who has been corrupted by his youth and physical beauty. Several productions of this classic have already been produced, but Warwick's performance is simply arresting. He narrates in a strong voice with an elegant cadence and vocal color that befits each character and the overall tone of the work. Any hint of monotony in the middle can be attributed to slow moments in Wilde's writing. Overall, Warwick's performance is smooth and melodic. The audiobook also comes with an interview with Warwick in which he recounts his own life as a gay man in 1960s London. Arvin Cerezzo wrote that review of The Picture of Dorian Gray. It's by Oscar Wilde, and it's an Earphones winner read by James Warwick. It's available from Allison Larkin Presents for 9.5 hours of unabridged listening. And this is just a reminder that you are listening to Audiophile's June-July issue, in which we celebrate our newest Audiophile Golden Voices. Next review today in poetry, drama, and classics is the one mentioned in the Richard Blanco listening with, How to Love a Country, Poems, written and read by Richard Blanco. With a quiet but driving intensity, Richard Blanco delivers poems that speak to our times. He addresses the push-pull of his identity as a Cuban-American, confronts his own mortality, his father died at 55, and touches on national tragedies such as the Pulse nightclub and Parkland High School mass shootings and the Boston bombing. In the affecting November Eyes, the author goes about routine errands in his small town and meets the eyes of his neighbors, who, he says, know that he is Latino and gay on the morning after Trump's election. Blanco uses a few accents for his mother and father, for a Cuban cab driver, and the occasional sound of a page turning or of a poet taking a breath makes the listening experience an intimate one. Jennifer Dowell wrote that review of How to Love a Country, Poems, written and read by Richard Blanco. It's available from Beacon Press for 2.25 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have London Labor and London Poor. It's written by Henry Mayhew, and it's an Earphones winner read by David Timpson. Narrator David Timpson takes three tacks in performing this classic of Victorian political economy and sociology. He delivers the modern editor's notes and introduction with vigorous clarity. He reads Mayhew's text with similar energy, but with more feeling and with an orotund, occasionally jocular tone, as if Mayhew were a Dickens character. And for the heart of the book, the testimonies of the poor who are answering interview questions, he not only gives each person their own voice and accent, but he also uses tones and manner to exhibit their character and emotional state, giving, in effect, a multitude of dramatic monologues that are revealing, informative, often greatly effective. Overall, it's a performance a series of performances of impressive creativity, sensitivity, and skill. A remarkable tour de force. William Mingen wrote that review of London Labor and the London Poor by Henry Mayhew. It's an Earphones winner, read by David Timpson, available from Naxos Audiobooks for 27.25 hours unabridged. Next we have The Nine Cloud Dream by Kim Man-jung. Heinz Insu Fenkel is the translator, and it's read by David Shi. David Shi's narration brings to life this new translation of Korea's most prized literary classic. Set in China during the Tang Dynasty, 618 to 907, it centers around a young monk named Xing Chen, who is reincarnated as punishment for disobeying his master. Shi's expert narration perfectly captures the humble demeanor of the rebirth Xiao Yu, who is adjusting to his new life as a peasant's son. Shi's warm voice and adept pacing will have listeners sympathizing with Xiao Yu's failures and successes during his journey to understanding the truths of Buddha's teaching. A lengthy introduction gives background on the source material and revealing foreshadowing. Accessible and engaging, this is a great listening experience. Arvin Cerezo wrote that review of Nine Cloud Dream by Kim Man-jung. Heinz Insu Fenkel is the translator, and it's read by David Shi. It's available from Tantor Media for 8 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review is the classic Daisy Miller by Henry James. It's read by Penelope Rollins. James's novella is brought beautifully to life by narrator Penelope Rollins, whose chameleon voice spans continents with ease. While the narrative is performed with an appealing British accent, Rollins easily moves into American tones when voicing the title character and her suitor, Mr. Winterbourne. As the vivacious Daisy flirts her way across Europe, Winterbourne struggles to reconcile his feelings for her with his loyalty to social expectations and appearances. The voice of Randolph, Daisy's little brother, can be too exaggerated at times, but the story as a whole is delivered with grace and power. This audiobook is a fine introduction to this classic. Its length is manageable, and Rollins brings a respectful, contemporary voice to an earlier time. Leslie B. Fine wrote that review of Daisy Miller by Henry James. It's read by Penelope Rollins, and it's available from Naxos Audiobooks for 2.5 hours of unabridged listening. Okay, our next review in poetry, drama, and classics is Book of Longing. It's written and read by Leonard Cohen, and it's an Earphones winner. Leonard Cohen, narrating his audiobook of poems, provides listeners an opportunity to hear his unique introduction, intonation, and pensive tone once more. First published in 2006, this collection features Cohen's thoughts and observations on sexual desire, getting older, and finding the truths in his everyday movements. Throughout, Cohen's voice resonates with intimacy. He notes the beauty of the moon in a passing moment. He finds himself musing on life while driving on a California highway. He feels unabated longing for the women in his life. Cohen's recitation reflects the style in which he approached his music. Cohen's fans, especially those mourning his recent death, will find this audiobook an extension of his music, with Cohen focusing us on his gentle rhythm and bleak honesty. Stephen P. Cummings wrote that review of Book of Longing by Leonard Cohen, read by the author. It's available from Harper Audio for 3.25 hours, unabridged, and it is an earphones winner. Our next review is Sisters Matsumoto. It's written by Philip Khan Gotanda, and it's read by a full cast, and it's an earphones winner. With poignant grace, Keiko Ajina, June Angela, and Suzy Nakamura lead a stellar cast, playing three Japanese-American sisters who find hope, heartache, and hard-won humor as they return to their family farm in California after 4 long years locked away in a Japanese internment camp during World War II. They had planned to pick up where they left off, but their father and mother are gone, and even the deed to the farm has turned to dust. Listeners can hear the pressures of politics, racism, and family separation. The performance is followed by an excellent panel discussion, focusing on how 120,000 U.S. citizens were relocated to camps during the war. The discussion features Japanese-American artists, including George Takei of Star Trek, who was 5 years old when he was interned. Important and powerful. Brian Price wrote that review of Sisters Matsumoto. It's written by Philip Khan Gotanda, and it's read by a full cast. It's available from LA Theater Works for 2 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review in poetry, classics, and drama is The Little Foxes by Lillian Hellman. It's read by a full cast. In this darkly comic 1939 Broadway classic, film and television veterans Joanne Whaley, Heidi Dippold, and Molly C. Quinn take center stage, an opportunity actresses didn't often find in mid-20th century American theater. It's 1900 in the heart of Dixie, and two brothers are plotting to build a cotton mill with $75,000 borrowed from the family. Their sister, played with devious glee by Joanne Whaley, gets wind of their scheme, and against her sister-in-law's and daughter's better natures, profits by turning the brothers' plan against them. All the narrators sport dead-on Southern accents, a piercing examination of the Old South that proves a woman can be just as devilish and greedy as any man. Fine performances all around. Brian Price wrote that review of The Little Foxes by Lillian Hellman, read by a full cast. It's available from LA Theater Works for 2 hours unabridged. Next, we have Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man by James Joyce, read by Colin Farrell. Colin Farrell's narration of this classic certainly does not disappoint. James Joyce's prose often seems like it was written to be narrated because of its natural musicality and cadence. The story of young Stephen Dedalus, Joyce's first novel, is a masterful attempt to capture the mind's eye. Farrell's emphatic, lilting voice follows Stephen's mind into the nooks and crannies of consciousness. His vocal characterizations are distinct and effective, especially his loud, bold portrayal of Simon Dedalus, Stephen's father, a striking contrast to the sensitive, soft-spoken son. Yet Farrell captures the many facets of Stephen's thoughts and emotions, which run the gamut from boldness to meekness. Farrell's ability to handle such a variety of emotions in creating Stephen's voice makes this relatively short audiobook a success. Danielle Walters wrote that review of A Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man by James Joyce. It's read by Colin Farrell, and it's available from Audible, Inc. for 8.25 hours of unabridged listening. And finally today, we have Nouns and Verbs, New and Selected Poems Written and Read by Campbell McGrath. Rooted in everyday experience, Campbell McGrath's poems have a brevity and immediacy that adapt effectively to audiobook listening. His images are literal and direct, with few metaphors or deeper meanings, and the poems don't require repeat listening. McGrath's voice doesn't sound professionally trained, but he is a good interpreter of his poems, rhythms, and emphases, and if you like his work, you'll surely appreciate his delivery. He does at times fall into that tone of spellbound reverence, characteristics of so many academic poetry readings. But the prevailing high spirits and good humor of this collection will endear it to many listeners. David A. Walton wrote that review of Nouns and Verbs, New and Selected Poems by Campbell McGrath, read by the author. It's available from Harper Audio for 6.5 hours of unabridged listening. Well, that's our show for today, but I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when we have reviews in literary fiction, including reviews of Earphones winner Golden Child by Claire Adam, read by Obi Abili, and many, many more interesting and intriguing books. We'll also have our editor's picks for the most intriguing audiobook releases for June and July. So until then, thanks for listening. This has been Audiophile Magazine from WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Audiophile is also available online at www.audiophilemagazine.com. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Sandy Henschel. For more information on any of the books you've heard about today, contact your local library, Library for the Blind, or your favorite local bookstore. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.